Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Now to a major case going before the Supreme Court tomorrow. It's called Husted versus A. Philip Randolph Institute. And the Husted in this case is Ohio Secretary of State John Husted. The plaintiffs include U.S. Navy veteran Larry Harmon, who was removed from Ohio's voter rolls in 2015. Harmon claims that the state violated the National Voter Registration Act, basically that the state had gone too far in purging his name from the voter rolls simply because Harmon didn't cast a ballot in 2009 and 2010. And by the way, Ohio is one of a number of states that use voter inactivity to purge voter databases. Emily Bazelon is a staff writer at the New York Times Magazine and a fellow at Yale Law School. She joins us now. Hi there, Emily.
Hello, hello.
So first of all, tell us a little bit more about exactly what Harmon is claiming here. He didn't vote for a couple of years and Ohio removed him. How unusual is that?
Well, that is a really good question. In November 2016, there were at least 7,500 people in Ohio who cast provisional ballots after being struck from the voter rolls based on this process that Larry Harmon is complaining about. So here's what he says Ohio should not be doing. If you don't vote in one federal election cycle and then you don't update your registration, the state sends you a letter. Now, say you don't write back, like maybe you miss it, whatever, you don't write back. Then if, at that point, if you don't go to update your registration and you don't vote for four more years, you get struck from the rolls. And so the question is, under the National Voter Registration Act, which is mostly about increasing access to the ballot, whether a state can begin this process of striking someone from the voter rolls based on their failure to vote, as opposed to based on their moving and the state getting a notification that their address has changed.
Okay. And so obviously Harmon believes that it's in violation of the National Voter Registration Act. I mean, what does the act itself say about the process that a state must go through in order to remove a voter from its rolls?
Yeah, so I would say this is not the most clearly drafted law in the entire universe, but there is a provision about it. It's called subsection B, and it talks about the state's process. And one of the things it says is that the state shall not remove the name of any person from the official list of voters by reason of the person's failure to vote. And so the question in this case is, if Ohio starts a process by someone's failure to vote, but then does this other step of sending a letter, whether that is in violation of the statute.
Okay, interesting, because I imagine that is what Ohio Secretary of State John Husted would be arguing, that the state did reach out to Harmon, sent him a letter, and it was up to Harmon to respond, and he failed to do so.
Exactly. Ohio says, look, your registration was canceled by your failure to vote only when coupled with your failure to respond to this letter that we sent you. And then we get into this question about what's the real goal of the law here. If you have a law that mostly, this is the motor voter law that mostly was designed to make it easier for people to register to vote by requiring states to put voter registration materials in places like the DMV, right? And so in the context of that law, should the state be able to start off with someone's failure to vote? There are lots of reasons why people don't vote in one election and also reasons why they might miss a mailing from the state. One of the plaintiffs in this case was in the military, and so he was abroad for several years. That was his reason for not voting.
So I presume that since this has ended up before the U.S. Supreme Court, that that means that the plaintiffs have appealed all the way up to the high court. Is that right?
What's happened in this case is that the plaintiffs won before the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. The Sixth Circuit said that this idea of starting out with the failure to vote is perhaps the plainest possible example of a process that results in removal of a voter from the rolls by reason of his or her failure to vote. So the Sixth Circuit did not buy Ohio's defense, and Ohio is now appealing that ruling to the Supreme Court.
I see. Okay. So then what might we expect? I know it's always dangerous territory to try to predict what the justices are thinking, but given the makeup of the current court, where do you think this case might head?
You know, it is my hope that this is not a case that will actually result in a 5-4 ideological split. That's probably wishful thinking. But this is a case about what's called statutory interpretation. It's just a close reading of these provisions of the law and what they actually say. And there's no real reason that this should be a partisan issue. That said, it is true that limiting the franchise, making it harder to vote, purging voters from the rolls has become a real Republican conservative cause, and Democrats tend to be on the other side arguing for making it easier to vote.
Other states beyond Ohio use similar methods as well. So what are the potential broader implications of this case?
Well, Ohio goes pretty far in terms of starting this process out with one failure to vote, one time where you don't cast a ballot. And so the kind of question is, if the Supreme Court approves Ohio's process, will other states, in particular Republican-controlled states and swing states, will they change to this more restrictive process as a way of purging their rolls? And the people who are in favor of that kind of more restrictive process say that they're trying to protect against fraud. They're making sure that the voting rolls are well managed, that they're cleaned up. Everybody agrees that people who move or who die don't belong on the voter rolls anymore. It's this question of, do we put up barriers for people who we don't know have moved and who just seem to be inactive for a time? Or do we give them the benefit of the doubt that they're planning to come back and make it easy for them to just show up at the polls the next time? That's the tension here.
Well, Emily Bazelon is staff writer at the New York Times Magazine and a fellow at Yale Law School. Emily, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks so much.